1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's 5 o'clock, and this is a Civic Media special report. I'm Terry Bell, and a shift in power on the Wisconsin Supreme Court is about to happen as Janet Protasiewicz is being sworn in as Wisconsin Supreme Court's newest judge. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News, joined by Todd Aubaugh with analysis here. And normally, suffice it to say, we would not be covering the swearing-in of a Supreme Court justice. This is a bit of an unusual circumstance for a couple of reasons. First of all, would be the high level of interest that Wisconsinites have demonstrated in this position, especially in a year coming up with several high-profile decisions. And the amount of votes that were cast in April and the amount of money that was spent in the race. This has been very unusual. I imagine it's somewhat unusual that the ceremony is happening in the Capitol Rotunda. The swearing-in of justices is typically a more low-key affair than this. The rotunda is typically, in terms of inaugurations, reserved for governors. I'm guessing this is a very different occasion, and I'm guessing it's happening because of the anticipation of the level of interest upon the part of people who want to be at the Capitol today to see this swearing-in.
Terry, to your point, it's historic in that this is a change for Wisconsinites as the Supreme Court is going to shift to a 4-3 liberal majority with the retirement of Patience Rogensack, Pac Rogensack, who has stepped down. And there was a vicious, as you pointed out, competition to replace her. And it was a match between Dan Kelly, the conservative, and Janet Protasiewicz, the progressive or the liberal judge. $45 million, Terry, combined, spent that race, to your point. And so this is very important, not just because of the historic nature of the race, the shift in the court, but also what it may mean to Wisconsinites ahead in the new term. Things like redistricting, election laws, drop boxes included, abortion, and union rights, particularly Act 10. All those now may be on the table with the investment, the swearing in today of now justice-elect, about to be Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz.
I think we're getting a signal that things are about to begin. So, no, we have some more perspective to give you. As Todd mentioned, this is the first time that liberals are in the majority on the Wisconsin's High Court in 15 years. Protasiewicz is expected to be the deciding vote, as Todd mentioned, on key upcoming cases. Likely, we're looking at abortion, political maps in Wisconsin, labor rights, and perhaps most importantly, voting rules for next year's presidential election. Now, while Protasiewicz is coming in, an interesting development late yesterday, the director of the Wisconsin court system appears to be on his way out. Now, the director of the court system works for the Supreme Court, so the new liberal majority reportedly plans to fire Randy Koshnick. The Journal Sentinel reporting in this morning's edition that the new liberal majority will hire Milwaukee County Judge Audrey Swarovski on an interim basis. So some intrigue to go with everything that's happening.
Nothing in Wisconsin is without drama, Terry, including a Supreme Court investiture and a swearing in. Really interesting. And I think the important part for our listeners to realize is, so far, to my knowledge, we've only heard kind of one side of this whole issue with this firing or alleged firing. It's been from conservative talk radio, quite frankly, and Randy Koshnick, the director of the state courts, who says he's been fired. Several media sources contacted current Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jill Karofsky, a progressive, who did not give any comment to the press. No one's confirmed or denied this, but not unusual in that, remember, due to a statewide referendum passed in 2015, it used to be that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was automatically the most elder in terms of having served the longest on the court. If that were still to hold today, it would be progressive or liberal. Ann Walsh Bradley, incidentally from my hometown Richland Center, who has been elected to the court since 1995, she would be Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice. But due to that statewide referendum in 2015, it enabled the court to elect their own Chief Justice and for a two-year term. And so the conservatives elected Annette Ziegler. Now, it's the same power, Terry, that also allows the Supreme Court to basically hire or fire the director of the courts, and this now incoming more liberal Supreme Court, by all rules and by all laws, is able to make a change if they so desire. We it's not been confirmed yet from the court that's their intention, but what we're hearing from Andy Koshnick and from conservative talk radio, that's the case. If it's true, nothing wrong here in terms of illegality. It's just that they've decided to go in another direction.
That I think is very well said. These are steps that the court is allowed to take, and just as you mentioned, with changing the rules about the choice of the Supreme Court Chief Justice, this is also within the purview of the High Court. Republicans having plenty to say about today's events. This is a quote from the Republican Party Wisconsin spokeswoman Rachel Reisner, quoted in today's Journal Sentinel. "Wisconsinites should brace themselves for an era of hyper-partisanship brought on by Protasiewicz and her allies as they use the courts to implement their partisan policy agenda. Through the role of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is to interpret the laws of Wisconsin as they're written, regardless of political beliefs." Protasiewicz, and this is speaking for Rachel Reisner, has promised to put her thumb on the scales of justice and disregard the Constitution or laws on the books whenever she desires. So this is just goes to show how much how fierce the debate was last spring, I think, as we all recall. And I think it'll be very interesting to see how the next Supreme Court race plays out, and whether Protasiewicz, by taking a very unusual tactic by being rather upfront about many of her views, you can guess whether or not this will be the new standard for judicial races going forward, or whether Janet Protasiewicz was just a blip on the screen, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a very interesting afternoon to have this all come to fruition, and it's a busy and a breaking news day for sure.
Well, for sure, and we do want to pass along one other item that has happened. President Trump indicted today for his role in trying to overturn the last election.
Quickly, according to Jim Acosta from CBS News, courtesy of CNN, here are reported now four counts that Donald Trump has been indicted on: conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. That according to CNN and Jim Acosta from CBS News. So a busy news day nationally. Donald Trump indicted once again. But more importantly, perhaps, Terry, for Wisconsinites today, now the investiture of Janet Protasiewicz. And now we see the justice-elect having reached the podium. It's being set up in front of the North Gallery right now, Terry. And several of the other people are being introduced. If you're familiar with the Capitol and these ceremonies, normally the governor's investiture is in the south, in front of the South Gallery, the west, so he looks directly into his incoming office in the east. They've shifted this around. This is the North Gallery, so the justice will be looking towards the South Gallery, where the Senate is housed.
What we anticipate to happen is there will be a swearing in and a speech, remarks by Protasiewicz. A hour has been scheduled for this event. We'll see how long we stick in there with this, but we wanted to bring this to you because of the high level of interest that there is in this situation and how much things could change in Wisconsin. 15 years of mostly conservative rulings could be greatly impacted in the months to come.
And that's what the newsy part of this day, right? Think back to 2010, 2011, when Act 10 was put out there, completely changed union rights in the state for public workers. That potentially could be on the table. We look at things coming up into 2024. Our congressional districts will all be up for grabs, as well as the state Senate and the entire state assembly and a third of the state Senate. And those district boundaries, depending upon what cases may be coming before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, those may all fall on the more liberal side, those decisions, if we want to remind our listeners, officially, the state Supreme Court is a nonpartisan entity. Little by little, over time, both Republican and the Democratic Party have put millions of dollars into these races to elect people to these officially nonpartisan positions for issues that are important to them. And I think, Terry, just analyzing this past race with Jana Protasiewicz, judge and about to be Justice Protasiewicz, she came out and was much more forthcoming in her beliefs prior to the election. Normally, these judicial races in Wisconsin are pretty darn boring. As a former political hack myself, you never really wanted to work on a judicial race because it was pretty boring. But Jana Protasiewicz kind of broke the mold and said, you know, here's what I believe. And I'm not going to talk about future cases, but I'm going to tell you what I believe in. That may be a harbinger for judicial races in Wisconsin in the future.
I have a feeling it will. I remember it being quite astonishing, a scene last winter at the Monona Terrace Convention Center, the one and only forum that was held for the primary, when all four of the candidates were on hand. Mm-hmm. And the other three candidates pretty much stuck to the traditional script. And you could read between the lines in their remarks to kind of suss out what they really meant. But it was quite astonishing just how blunt Jana Protasiewicz was in talking about matters that usually judicial candidates are very reticent about talking about. She said the maps were rigged, I believe were her exact words at that forum. She talked about reproductive rights in a very clear and unmistakable way. Mm-hmm. And she, I think, has broke the mold for how you conduct a judicial campaign going forward.
It's going to be very interesting to see, just from a political person, a political perspective, as someone who really enjoys that, to just watch that side of it. Also, someone who loves, Terry, a good pomp and circumstance. I love a good ceremony. And so I love the pageantry, everything that goes with that. And again, looking at the state capitol right now and in the rotunda, our feed courtesy of Wisconsin Eye, by the way, a great organization in and of itself. We see the investiture ceremony, the pomp and circumstance, the stage, American flags, Wisconsin flags, and it's in front of a copy of the Wisconsin Constitution that sits in that glass case directly behind the podium in the North Gallery. And I have a feeling that's why now Justice-elect Protasiewicz chose this spot, because she's going to be sworn in now in front of the Wisconsin Constitution. They've just finished up, Terry, singing the national anthem in this packed Capitol Rotunda here in Madison.
Gabriela Banuelos, she sang the national anthem, popular pop singer along with her sister in Milwaukee. They are a duo known as Reina, and they've been on some national shows too. They've gotten some widespread accolades for their music. Very nice touch to see her singing the national anthem.
Also, it appears that there's a representative, perhaps of the Ho-Chunk Nation, but one of our Native American tribes being represented there with a Native American staff, with several, one would think, based on not an expert like our friend Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio, but my experience with Native Americans, probably eagle feathers on that, signifying on the Ho-Chunk involvement. And then we also have the U.S. flag and the American flag there, or pardon me, the U.S. flag and the Wisconsin flag there as well.
And now, we seem to be still a moment or two away.
Let us bow together in prayer.
An invocation being given right now.
Eternal God, we bow before your holy presence on this very solemn occasion to celebrate and commemorate the elevation of Judge Jana Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We give thanks and honor for the opportunity of having her serve in this very sublime office of our state. We ask, God, that you would grant her wisdom, sound judgment, courage, and gravity. We offer this our prayer in humility and sincerity. Amen.
I don't know about you, but there's something about that drum that always gets me going. So welcome, everyone. My name is Derek Mosley. I'm the director of Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. And it is my honor to be the MC tonight of the investiture of Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I've known Janet for quite some time, whether it was on the bench in Milwaukee while she served as a circuit court Milwaukee County judge, and I served as a city of Milwaukee municipal court judge, or I've known her since we were assistant district attorneys in Milwaukee County, representing the citizens of Milwaukee County as assistant district attorneys. And even more than that, Janet and I often speak on behalf and go to events of our alma mater, Marquette University Law School. But despite all of that, the thing that I'm most proud of is that Janet is my friend. And I can't be any more proud of you, my friend. So, as MC, it's my job to make sure that everything goes on time, and I'm going to stick to the agenda. In fact, I am so confident that I actually parked on the street and only put a dollar in the meter for 1 hour. I got 1 hour! So, without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dallet.
Rebecca Dallet, elected first in 2018.
Thank you, Judge Mosley. What an awesome day for the state of Wisconsin. It is an honor to be here and to have the opportunity to join in this celebration as we welcome our newest justice, Janet Protasiewicz, as the member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. As many of you know, this isn't the first time I've worked with Janet to serve the people of the state of Wisconsin. We worked together first as prosecutors in Milwaukee County, protecting the rights of victims and holding wrongdoers accountable. Then we served on the circuit court bench together, and I saw firsthand her commitment to the law and the Wisconsin Constitution. Over the years we've worked closely together, I've not only had the opportunity to see her intellect and her strength, but I've also seen her warm heart, how she is a true, deeply empathetic friend to so many, and how everything she does is rooted in her working class upbringing. She knows that our system is imperfect, and we must work hard to reduce inequity and make sure that we live up to the promise of America, that all of us are treated equally before the law. That's why I'm also proud to call her my friend. Working with her in Milwaukee County, I saw how she handled the tough cases. She treated every person with dignity. She cared about victims as well as defendants. She treated attorneys, staff, litigants, everyone in the courtroom with respect, and she always upholds the law. To put it simply, she does what is right. As we begin this new chapter together on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I have no doubt that she will continue to serve the people of this great state with honor. I know Janet understands the significant role of this court. In every case, we look to the law, the facts, the Constitution, and we work collegially to make decisions that are rooted in precedent and to protect the constitutional rights of the people of Wisconsin. We have a heady responsibility as members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and I'm proud to have colleagues like Justice Janet Protasiewicz who are willing to serve and take on this responsibility. So Janet, I want to officially congratulate you on your investiture today. I look forward to working with you again, and together, delivering on the promise of justice and fairness for every Wisconsinite. Forward.
It is my pleasure to introduce to the stage retired Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Geske.
Justices, judges, I'm so wonderful to see so many judges here. Dean Kearney, honored guests, family and friends of Janet. I too want to say what a wonderful day. Congratulations, Janet. You don't know this, but 30 years ago, I was sitting in that seat being sworn in as a member of the court. So. So I decided what I would do today is try to share a few pieces of advice and encouragement for you. Continue to be yourself. You are social, friendly, funny, patient, spiritual, and thoughtful. You can use your gifts to be both pragmatic, playful, and yet serious when necessary. Those characteristics will carry you through tough times on the court and in the community. Stay close to your friends and family, and particularly Greg. Their love will continue to support you in important ways. You will now be facing a new experience, serving part of a collegial court. You will find when you want to ask a lawyer a question during an argument, you're going to have to wait your turn. Even when the prior question took counsel in a completely different direction, finessing your inquiries in amongst those six other colleagues can be a challenge, but I know you're up for that challenge. When I used to explain to the public what it was like to be at a Supreme Court justice back in the conference room deciding a case, I compared it to sitting down at a Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of strangers and some newly acquired in-laws, and then asking everyone how they feel about the most controversial issue you could think of. It makes for vigorous and sometimes contentious debates. But always, your great listening skills and ability to advocate your views will serve you well. Remember who you now serve. Just like I did, you are coming into this position having devoted many years to the citizens of Milwaukee County. You will no longer be Judge Janet, you will be Justice Janet. I know you will demonstrate deep respect for all the parties and attorneys who come into the court, always remaining faithful to the rule of law. Now you serve the entire state, from farmers to businesses, from the homeless to the wealthy, from victims to convicted felons, and from parents to children. You now represent the top of our third branch of democracy in Wisconsin. I am personally thrilled because I know you have a strong commitment to access to the courts for all, to transparency, and to the highest ethical standards for judges and lawyers. Finally, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many here have either had your picture taken by Janet or with Janet? I want to see hands. The reason I'm asking that is that we all know, right? Janet is a wonderful picture taken. But I have to warn you, Janet, that you have serious competition for that official photographer role, because Ann Walsh Bradley is extraordinary in her ability to capture important moments. So I suggest you consider a collaboration with her on this point. And so, Janet, I end by again congratulating you and wishing you many wonderful experiences as the newest Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice.
You're listening to ongoing coverage of the investiture ceremony of Justice Jennifer Perez
Sandwich,
along
to introduce to
with
the stage,
News Director Terry Bell. This is Joseph Civic Media Perry. News Special Report.
Thank you, Judge Mosley, and good afternoon to justices, judges, and all guests. Some might think me an unlikely speaker today. Perhaps no one in the legal profession stayed farther away from the Supreme Court race than did I. To be sure, I voted this past spring more than once, lest anyone knowing me to be a native Chicagoan mistake that comment. Allow me to remind you that there was a primary election, too. As for the distance, it's a tradition. For the past 20 years, as with my predecessor, the late Howard Eisenberg, standing apart from endorsements has been my approach to contested elections. Marquette University Law School assiduously seeks to be an honest broker in its prominent role in discussions of public policy, and for me as dean, that has counseled personal reticence. The campaign must be behind us all, and I am very glad to be here. And if anyone takes me to be speaking for the law school today, that will be just fine. It is an important occasion, the 88th time, by my count, that a justice has joined Wisconsin's highest court. For this, the most newly created of the court's seven seats, first filled in 1908, there have been nine predecessors. They include the state's longest-serving Chief Justice, the Honorable Marvin Rosenberry, and most recently, until yesterday, the Honorable Patience D. Rogensack. I have considered it a privilege to work with Justice Rogensack throughout the past 20 years, including her 6 years as Chief Justice. The person whose investiture we celebrate today is a Marquette lawyer, Janet Protasiewicz. The law school has closely followed Janet's career in public service since her graduation in 1988. We also have known her, in a way especially meaningful to us, as an adjunct professor teaching trial practice for us during a 4-year period, both right before and then following the time of her becoming a judge. It is more than that the students so took to her as a professor. It is also what the work has in common with her new position. Appellate judges are influential teachers. They not only announce the judgment to the parties, but explain to the public at large the principles underlying it. Principles that presumably will be widely taken to govern not just subsequent such cases, but future such conduct. Appellate judges' influence on future conduct is a particular reason that their writings are among the things that we call the law. This court often deals in fraught matters, from controversies over fugitive slave laws in the 1850s to disputes over executive authority during a pandemic. Our justices, as they all are, have found themselves grappling with some of the thorniest controversies of the day. Can there be any doubt that our polity benefits from a court whose members evince respect for and patience, general goodwill with one another, whatever the prevailing circumstances, surrounding pressures, or even unbridgeable substantive differences? A rhetorical question. Candor impels me to note that I worry about the court. In fact, the state of our system of government concerns me in ways that less than a decade ago I had not anticipated. Yet I am optimistic. The constitutional design helps a good deal, including not least the one Supreme Court established by Article 7 of the Wisconsin Constitution. Even today, few generally responsible people have suggested, for example, not respecting the judgments of courts, low or high. Partly too, and especially today, the confidence is personal. At her trial court investiture in 2014, and if you think this was a good crowd, you should have been at the Wisconsin Club that day in Milwaukee, I noted my belief in Judge Protasiewicz's teaching that it had gone so well because of her appreciation that excellence requires constant learning. I know her to believe this in this new context also. So I will close my remarks with the same observation as on that earlier occasion. On behalf of not just her former students and not just those of us associated with Marquette University Law School, but for all of us who are students of the law, I look forward to our learning various things from Judge, now Justice, Janet Protasiewicz. Her record as a fine teacher speaks volumes about her coming work as a justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Warm congratulations and all good wishes.
And Terry Bell, Janet Protasiewicz will now join Justice Annette Ziegler, the Chief Justice, as a fellow Marquette Law School grad. Maybe
Please
they can find some commonality
the
there.
I suppose they could.
Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley.
Ann Walsh Bradley taking the podium. Of course, Ann Walsh Bradley, a progressive from my hometown, Terry, of Richland Center, Wisconsin, is the longest serving justice since 1995. She is 73 years old.
How wonderful. What an amazing day. I say, let us rejoice and be glad. Right? Yeah. Janet, 28 years ago, Janine said 30 years ago for her, but I remind you, Janine, I've been here all 28 years. 28 years ago, I sat where you are now sitting. It was in this state capitol rotunda, waiting to take the office as a newly elected justice to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. In my early years on the court, we were considered to be one of the top state courts in the entire nation. Our decisions were often cited and followed by courts of other states. Now, why do I tell you that? Why is that important? I tell you that because of what it signifies. I used to be a high school teacher, and so I not only asked the questions, I answered them on occasion. I'll tell you why it is important. It's important because it shows the respect that other state courts had of our decisions and how the Wisconsin Supreme Court influenced the development of the law throughout the country. We were also considered one of the top state courts in judicial administration. We were the first in the nation to open up our administrative conferences, airing them on public access TV, opening wide the doors of our hearing room, and inviting the public in to see how we conduct our administrative business. Supreme courts in other states would look to us for new ideas. We were on the forefront, the very forefront of treatment courts, instituting them around the state, of advancing programs for pro se litigants. And many of our outreach programs not only won national recognition, they won national awards. We knew then, and we know now, that to ensure a truly just legal system, one that reflects the history and the hope of this state, that we must make the courts more accessible to the public. No matter if you are rich or poor, powerful or powerless, no matter what your station in life, your political or religious beliefs, we are here as a court system to serve all of the people of this state. As justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, we may analyze cases differently, but we are united in our commitment to ensuring a fair and just legal system. Yes, amen. Our challenge, the challenge of the seven justices, all of us on the Supreme Court, is to work to enhance the public trust and confidence of the people in the judiciary and return this court to the national reputation that it once enjoyed. Right. And why do we do that? Not just because it's going to improve the system itself. Admittedly, it will do that. But more importantly, we do that because it will be good for the people of the state of Wisconsin. It will be good for the over 5.8 million people that call this great state our home. That's why it's important, and that's why we're here today. Janet, I want to close by telling you how honored I am that I can administer the oath to you today, and how thrilled I am that you also embrace this challenge. So if you would come forward.
Here's Director Terry Bell. It looks like the biggest hand of applause in the room was when Justice Ann Walsh Bradley talked about restoring the reputation of the court. I think for a lot of progressives, that's really key to this new term.
Well, there were some incidents, some unfortunate ones years ago. People laying hands on others.
Hand. Former Justice David Prosser grabbed Ann Walsh Bradley around the neck.
He shot.
I mean, that literally came a fist to cuffs.
Exactly,
and if you
literally.
Would repeat after me.
Here's the swearing
in. And state your name.
I, Janet Protasewicz.
Who have been elected. To the office of the Supreme Court Justice.
To the office of Supreme Court Justice.
Of the state of Wisconsin.
Of the state of Wisconsin,
do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin,
and the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin,
and that I will administer justice,
And that I will administer justice.
Without respect to persons.
Without respect to persons.
And will faithfully.
And will faithfully.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Discharge the duties of the office.
Discharge the duties of the office.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Ladies and gentlemen, our justice.
In the words of former Justice Gespy, no longer Judge Janet, now you're Justice Janet.
And we'll hear what Justice Janet Protasiewicz has to say, the opening salvo, you could say, of her term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the vision that she plans to lay out for her term in a very important set of months still to come.
Big smile, and well-deserved, you know, a very, very happy day.
And I learned something. It seems these ceremonies do, in fact, happen in the Rotunda on a regular basis, so I stand corrected.
Let's hear from Justice
Janet. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for being here with us today. I can't tell you how much it means to see so many friends, family, colleagues, and community leaders here today to recognize this occasion. I'd like to thank Justice Ann Walsh Bradley for leading our swearing in. Your friendship and the decades of mentorship and leadership you have given to the people of the state of Wisconsin, we all owe you a debt of gratitude. Thank you. I'd also like to thank Justice Dallet, Justice Hagedorn, and Justice Karofsky for joining us today. I look forward to serving alongside all of you, along with Chief Justice Ziegler and Justice Bradley, to uphold the Constitution of our state and deliver on the promise of justice for every Wisconsinite. I wouldn't be here today without so many of you in this room who I've had the opportunity to work with and learn from throughout my career. It was a long campaign, so many of you probably know that I am a former prosecutor. As a former prosecutor and judge, I've witnessed firsthand the importance of upholding our laws, holding people accountable, and applying justice fairly and equally. I've learned so much from my colleagues in the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office, and my colleagues and all my staff members in the Milwaukee County Circuit Court. It has been a privilege, and I thank you, to work alongside all of you. You have all made me who I am today, and I thank you for being here. I also want to recognize the many current and former members of the Circuit Court Bench, the Appellate Court Bench, and the Municipal Court Bench, who work every day, every single day, to make sure the rights of every Wisconsinite are upheld. And I need to thank my entire family. You know, Emma did that Pledge of Allegiance. I would have asked my niece Olivia to play a role, but she was in New Zealand and I never dreamed she would come here for this event. So Olivia, thank you for being here today with all of us. My brother Steve, his wife Jen, everybody who has followed this campaign from the beginning to the end, my very, very dear friends, and I would be remiss, quite frankly, if I didn't give a special shout out to my very, very dear friend, Val, who sits in the front row. We met on the first day of law school at Marquette many years ago, and I think on that first day of law school, we weren't so sure we made the right decision. In the end, it obviously turned out well, but she deserves a very special shout out. During this entire campaign, I told people, you know what, I didn't grocery shop for a year. I didn't walk the dog for a year. I didn't do laundry for almost a year. And she was dutiful in dropping off care packages to me almost every week. And I thank you. And I know it wasn't easy for you to get here today. So thank you. I also want to thank my husband, Greg, who is truly the best support system. He has always believed in me, and he barely hesitated for more than a day or two when I told him that I thought I was going to get involved in a statewide race. Greg's the best. Thank you, Greg. I also would like to thank my campaign team and the thousands of volunteers. And I know there were thousands of volunteers who gave their time and their energy. I know you canvassed. I know you phone banked. I know you sent postcards. I know you contacted all of your networks. I am well aware of what you've all done, and I know that there were many, many of you doing that. And I hope you don't feel as though that was a thankless job. I thank all of you for that. I'm well aware of it. All of your generosity and determination made this possible today, and I will be forever grateful for what we were able to accomplish together. To everyone who has been part of today's beautiful program, thank you for your kind words, your friendship, and for making this event a success. I thank Justice Dallet for stepping up and filling in for my dear friend Lavelle Johnson, who had a family emergency this morning. You can always count on Justice Dallet in a pinch, so thank you very much. And how about Gabriela Banuelos and that beautiful rendition of our national anthem? Stunning. Thank you very much. But my biggest thank you goes to the people of the state of Wisconsin for placing your trust in me and granting me this responsibility. I look forward to serving you as a member of this court and doing my best to represent a state that I've called home and loved my entire life. I've always believed in public service. Throughout my entire career, I've had only one client, and that is the people of our beautiful state of Wisconsin. It is truly, truly the honor of a lifetime to have this unbelievable opportunity to continue to serve all of you. I was born and raised on the south side of Milwaukee to hardworking parents. I went to UW-Milwaukee and then Marquette Law School. Worked my way through college doing all sorts of things. I was a waitress. I wrote music reviews for the Milwaukee Journal. I ran the office for the League of Women Voters. Did all sorts of things. And trust me, during all of those long days and nights, I really truly never imagined that this is where I would end up. But all of those long hours led to an incredible opportunity to see our judicial system up close. And it allowed me to see what I believe is universal to Wisconsinites all across our beautiful state. And that is, everyone should get a fair shot to demand justice and not feel like the thumb is on the scale against them. Traveling. Traveling the state over the past year only made this more apparent. From Racine to Bayfield and every place in between, and I mean every place in between, I was everywhere. I was in some places four or five or six or seven times, such as La Crosse and Eau Claire. I was everywhere. But I heard from the people of this state about our shared beliefs. We all want a Wisconsin where our freedoms are protected. We want a Wisconsin with a fair and impartial Supreme Court. We all want to live in communities that are safe. And we all want a Wisconsin where everyone is afforded equal justice under the law. That's why I don't take this responsibility lightly. Just as I have throughout my entire legal and judicial career, I am committed to protecting our freedoms, and I'm committed to fairness and impartiality in our justice system. It's not only what the people of Wisconsin expect, it's what they deserve and what the oath I have taken demands. The Wisconsin Supreme Court's execution of our duties without favor to special interests, political pressure, or our own personal beliefs is vital to giving the people of our state trust and confidence in our judicial system. That's because the court has a unique and critical responsibility to interpret and apply the law when there are disputes. Our decisions, every one of our decisions, will have real-life, far-reaching consequences for the many people in this state. The issues that will come before this court are complex. Many of them deal with our most basic rights that are outlined in our Constitution. Decisions that this court will be making will impact some of the most important aspects of our daily lives. We need to ensure that the public has confidence in our decisions. We can do that, as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley just said, by improving transparency and accountability in the courts. Wisconsinites deserve to know that we are making decisions based on the law and the facts before us. To my colleagues who are here today, I'm under no illusion that we will always agree, but I respect each of you immensely, and you have my promise to work with you to fulfill our duties to the people of Wisconsin. The responsibility before us and the importance of our job is weighty, but I'm ready to get to work, and I'm ready to deliver justice and common sense as a member of this court. As I think of the challenges and responsibilities ahead, I'm reminded of our state motto, Forward. It's not only a motto, but a value that is ingrained in this state that calls on all of us to work together to make our state stronger and to ensure justice and fairness for all. I know we can move forward, and I hope to make Wisconsin proud as a member of this court. So again, I want to thank all of you for being here today. It means so much to me to have this opportunity to thank you for your work and to recognize our shared belief in the rule of law and to move forward together. Thank you all so very much.
And with that, now Justice Janet Protasiewicz is officially a member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Interesting, Terry, in her comments there. By the way, I thought they were very well delivered, just from a speech standpoint. I thought it was very well written. As somebody who used to write a lot of speeches for politicians and elected officials, the line that I gleaned out of there is, I only have one client, the people of Wisconsin. And I think if you're someone who is either a liberal or a progressive or a conservative, that's what you want on your Supreme Court justice. You want them to do the people's business of the state. And I thought it was well delivered. And now, as you said, Terry, we're going to see what happens as this Supreme Court is now a 4-3 liberal majority. Ann Walsh Bradley, Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky, and now Janet Protasiewicz joined on the liberal side with Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, Rebecca Bradley, and Brian Hagedorn on the conservative side. Brian Hagedorn, a swing justice for a long time, maybe not quite so much power now that the liberals have a 4-3 majority.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see his role in the months to come. Now, we don't know which of these key cases may come before for the court first, although the challenge to Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law would seem the most likely. It is currently working its way through the court system. There have been a couple of hearings of court proceedings up to this case. In the most recent one, a Dane County judge ruled that the law didn't actually outlaw abortion, but rather infanticide, or I should say, a feticide. So that would seem to be the likeliest case to come before the court first.
I would think you're absolutely right, because it's already in the hopper, so to speak, right?
Exactly.
Already the judicial system. I think the other one is probably timely, as Mike Lucas would say on Badger Sports, timely indeed, are the election laws cases. Of course, this the former, more conservative Supreme Court in Wisconsin outlawed last year drop boxes as a form of absentee ballots here in Wisconsin. And also, Wisconsin was one of the few states to uphold absentee voting way back all the way to the Civil War and Union soldiers. So that, as we move into the 2024 election cycle, I know kind of political geeks like you and I know this, but for most people, it's like, no more elections. But we are, for better or worse, moving into the next election cycle. So voters and local clerks need to know whether they can use these absentee drop boxes or not. So I would think that was probably another one that's coming before the Supreme Court in short order.
It strikes me that there may be a race on between the judicial branch and the legislative branch. Brands to see who can make the rules first.
Yeah.
And there are already bills in the Wisconsin legislature. One would create watermarks on absentee ballots, and also, well, at the same time, like you say, I think if the Supreme Court gets there first, we're going to see ballot boxes legal again. We're going to see rules about submitting absentee ballots freed up again to where they were during the pandemic. So it'll be interesting to see whether the legislature beats them to the punch.
And on voting, Terry raised this great point. It's going to be interesting for me, and I think a lot of Wisconsinites, to see if the Republican Party of Wisconsin perhaps alters their position on absentee voting in terms of drop boxes like they have in early voting. For years, Republicans, including former Governor Scott Walker and others, have preached about don't vote early, go to the polls, vote at the polls. Now, Chairman of the Republican Party, Brian Schimming, himself leading a national charge to get Republicans to vote absentee early, saying they want to basically do the same thing Democrats are. It'll be interesting if they see the writing on the wall, Terry, that if they think the Supreme Court's going to overturn this, will they then embrace absentee voting via drop boxes with their more conservative voters to try to, you know, win these partisan elections in 2024.
Which I think is why the Republicans have been slow to take positions on these things, because as they've said themselves, we don't know what the landscape is going to be closer to the election. So there's really not much of a point to taking a strong position now, which may be moot in a few months.
Breaking news, other news this afternoon, Terry, of course, nationally, and our colleague Maggie Dawn is about to go on the air, and she is going to break this all down for you. She is an attorney herself. Former President Donald Trump, according to CBS News, indicted by a federal grand jury on charges stemming from efforts to remain in power after he lost the 2020 presidential election. A number of charges, and Maggie Dawn is going to break that down for you. But, Terry, not a slow news day here at Civic Media.
A very busy day. We want to thank you for joining us for special coverage of the swearing-in of Justice Janet Protasiewicz to Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm Terry Bell. For Todd Aubaugh, thank you for joining us. From sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this. Thank you, Lord.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples. Some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions. And showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos,